Proverbs 20, verse 7. The just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. The just man walketh in his integrity. And his children are blessed after him. Have you been listening to the news lately? What's going on? What's coming down? The ever-continuing Iran-Contra controversy. The PTL debacle. The Wall Street busts. The sex spy Marine scandal. Ivan Bosky, Jim and Tammy, Clayton Lone Tree. What in the world is going on? I suggest to you this morning that what is happening publicly is a reflection of what is happening personally and privately throughout our society. What is happening in the news is only indicative of what is happening in our society in these days which we live. And that is, there is a lack of or a loss of integrity. Integrity. The scripture says, the just man walketh in his integrity. Now that is a word which many of us today don't even know the meaning of, much less have a commitment to. What does integrity mean? Webster's dictionary defines integrity in this way. 1. An unimpaired condition or soundness. 2. Adherence to a code of moral values. 3. The quality or state of being complete and undivided. Completeness, unity. See also honesty. What does integrity mean? Soundness, completeness, honesty. And it's a subject that is being discussed in an interesting sort of way today. One of the best-selling books of the past months and one of the best-selling board games of the past year is a book and board game entitled Scruples. And it deals with questions concerning integrity. Both the book and the game raise various questions by which a person can evaluate their integrity, their honesty. For example, if your wife came home from the beauty shop with a new hairdo that she was excited about, but hubby, you thought it looked like an absolute wreck, and she said, "Dear, what do you think?" What would you say? Would you tell her the truth? Would you be a man of integrity, of honesty, of soundness, adherence to a moral principle? Or would you sort of shade your answer a bit? Or, what if somebody came to you with 2 tickets to Tahiti, all expenses paid for 2 weeks for you and a friend or your wife, and said, "These tickets are yours if you will simply pull off the wings of a little butterfly"? Would you do it? Would you take a butterfly and pull off its wings to get an all-expenses-paid trip for 2 to Tahiti? Integrity. Or, what if the IRS gave you in your refund that comes back next month $25,000 extra dollars by mistake? Would you keep it? Or would you turn it back in? What if there was no way and you were absolutely assured that they could not trace it down and that you would not be busted? You say, well, of course I would send it back in. But what if you found 25 cents in the pay telephone little coin return trip? Do you pocket that 25 cents and say, oh, happy day? Or do you say, this is Pacific Northwest Bell's quarter, and I'll drop it back in the booth or call the operator or whatever? Integrity, scruples, honesty. You see, what we see happening nationally is only indicative of what is happening individually in our society. That is, there is a lack of integrity. Our culture is no longer committed to integrity, soundness, honesty, an adherence to certain values. You say, well, John, so what? So what if Clayton Lone Tree chooses to have relations with a Soviet gal and lets out some secrets? Big deal. Who cares about making a couple extra $1 million on Wall Street? If you can do it, why not, even though it might be illegal? What really is the value of integrity? Why should I be concerned about it? Why is this biblical exhortation or statement applicable to me? Why should I even worry about walking in integrity? I'd like to share with you 4 things the Bible has to say why integrity is beneficial. First of all, integrity, number one, benefits your family. Adherence to a moral code, honesty, soundness, integrity, it benefits your family. Look at verse 7. Here's what God says. The just man walks in his integrity, and his children are blessed after him. If you want your children to do well in life, then dad, you need to be one who walks in integrity. If you want your kids to grow up blessed, that means prosperous and happy, then mom, you need to walk in integrity. You see, what you do according to God's word directly affects your offspring. If you're lacking integrity, then your kids are going to be missing a certain blessing. I'm so thankful that my dad walked in integrity. My dad was a banker, still is. And I can remember growing up that my dad had a bank car that was actually owned by the bank but given to the executives, and it was a real neat car. But dad never drove that car anywhere except from home to the bank. In fact, I hardly ever even sat in that car, much less went anywhere in that car. Now, my best buddy down the street, one block down Bent Drive, his dad was also a bank vice president. And he also had a bank car. And it was neat. And he got to go everywhere in that bank car. That bank car went to Little League games and went to school activities. And it was just terrific. And I always wondered, well, how come my dad never takes his bank car anywhere except to the bank? And I asked Dad, Dad, how come my buddy, how come his dad takes him everywhere in the bank car and we can never go in our bank car? And Dad said, because it's against the rules. The bank car's for the bank, and that's it. And that stuck with me. That little incident has stayed with me all these years, that my dad just refused to compromise, even though everybody else was doing it. Dad was determined to walk in integrity. And then I think of us. How about me? How about you? Oh, Billy. "Oh, Susie, tell him I'm not home." As our kids go to the door or answer the phone and saying, "Oh, well, they're not here." Or maybe we're a little more clever. Maybe when somebody's at the door or on the phone that we don't want to talk to, we'll take some string out of the junk drawer in our kitchen and we'll wrap it around our hands. "Quick, tell them I'm all tied up," you know. And we play these games. We do things that we think will justify our lack of integrity. But if we want our kids to be blessed to the max, mom and dad, or you future parents, listen, the Bible says that the man who walks in integrity, his kids will receive special blessing. If you walk in honesty, integrity, soundness, adhering to principles, and not wavering, your kids will be blessed. Number two, integrity not only profits your family, but secondly, it provides direction personally. Profits your family, secondly, provides direction personally. Turn back to Proverbs 11, verse 3. This is a real key, folks. Listen at this point. Verse 3. The integrity, chapter 11, of the upright shall guide them. But the perverseness or lack of integrity of transgressors shall destroy them. The integrity, notice that first phrase, of the upright shall guide them. Many people today say, "I can't seem to get guidance for my life. Should I change occupations? Should I marry that person? What should I do in my life? I'm not getting direction." It could be that one of the reasons why you're not getting direction is because a lack of integrity. Now listen carefully. It says, the integrity of the upright shall guide them. The word integrity in the Hebrew is tuma, T-O-O-M-A-A-W, tuma. That's the literal word for integrity. And it comes from the Hebrew word tumim, T-O-O-M-E-E-M, which is the word that we translate thummim. Now, for some of you Old Testament scholars, you remember what the thummim is. In the breastplate of the high priest, there was two objects called the Urim and the Thummim. It means lights and perfection or integrity. And the Urim and the Thummim were kept in this breastplate of the high priest so that when people came to the priest and said, "What should I do? I don't have direction. I don't know what I should do about this matter." The high priest could take the Urim and the Thummim. We don't know exactly what they were. It is believed that they were probably two stones, one black and one white. But whatever they were, they took the Urim and the Thummim, lights and perfection, or lights and integrity, if you choose to translate it that way, and they would cast them down in a certain way that would determine what God would lead that individual to do. It was a way of finding direction, the Urim and the Thummim. Now, I don't think it's accidental. I'm certain it's not coincidental that the thummim, which was used in finding direction, is the word for integrity. For here in verse 3 it says, integrity of the upright shall guide them. Here's the key. When you ask the Lord for direction, are you really asking the Lord with integrity? Or are you asking with curiosity? If you're asking in curiosity, you really won't get the guidance that you desire. If you're saying, "Well, Lord, I'm curious. What's your will about this matter? And then I'll think about it and decide if I'm going to do it or not." Many times I catch myself praying out of curiosity, not out of integrity. Not saying, Lord, whatever you say, whatever comes down, I will do. But rather I say, well, Lord, what's your opinion on this matter? And I'll think about it and decide as time goes on whether or not I'll do that thing. How often that happens in counseling. How vulnerable we are from going to pastor, church to church, elder to elder, until we find somebody who says what we want to hear. We're not really going with integrity, saying, I'm coming to seek truth, and what is truth, what is God's guidance, I will do, regardless of how uncomfortable it might be or how much my flesh might react against it. Gang, you approach the Lord with integrity and say, Lord, what you say, I'll do. And I promise you, He'll give counsel and guidance to you. He'll open doors and close doors. He'll bring brothers and sisters. He'll open up scriptures. He will guide you if you are seeking God with integrity. But that means when you come to God and say, Lord, where should I live? If you say Tahiti, far out. But what if he says Buffalo, New York? Or Pittsburgh? No matter what you say, that I'll do. The scriptures say that integrity not only profits your family, but provides direction personally. Even as the Thummim provided direction, so integrity will provide direction. Thirdly, it not only profits your family and provides direction personally, but it protects you from iniquity. This is a key. Integrity protects you from iniquity. Now, we have been learning experientially and studying in the Scripture that sin stinks. The way of the transgressor is hard. Iniquity is brutal. It destroys, it erodes, it ruins life, it robs joy. It's tragic. So how can we be protected from iniquity? One of the keys is integrity. Keeping a finger here in Proverbs, turn to Genesis 20 and I'll show you how this works out. Genesis 20 is an interesting story many of you are familiar with. Abraham, verse 1, journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelt between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. And Abraham said of Sarah his wife, she is my sister. And Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. Abraham, knowing that Sarah was a beautiful lady, a real snap-eye, was worried that he would be killed by Abimelech, the leader, the king in this region, in order that he could take Sarah into his harem. So Abraham said, she's my sister. And he was trying to protect himself from what he knew would be execution if he admitted that she was his wife. So Abimelech went ahead and took Sarah into his harem. But, verse 3, God came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, Behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, she is married to a husband, or she is a man's wife. God came to Abimelech and said, You're dead. You've taken another man's wife. Now watch what Abimelech said in verse 4. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, will you slay a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, She is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother in the integrity of my heart and in the innocency of my hands, I have done this. Lord, I did this with integrity. I didn't know that she was married. In the integrity of my heart, I did this. Are you going to slay a righteous nation? Are you going to punish me? The idea of Abimelech being a dead man is literally, Abimelech, you are going to be impotent. You are not going to be able to produce kids ever. You're dead. Sexually, reproductively. And that's why Abimelech didn't come near to her that night. He was a dead man in that way. And he said, are you going to slay a nation? Will I not be able to produce children? Lord, I didn't know. I didn't understand that she was another man's wife. I did this with integrity. Now watch what God says in verse 6. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart. For I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now therefore restore this man his wife. Did you catch that? God says, Abimelech, I know that you did this in integrity. That's why I didn't allow you to touch her. You were unable to do so. Because I knew your heart. That you didn't know what was coming down. That you were doing this in integrity. Now think about that for you and me personally. God here is showing us, our Father is saying to us, that if we have integrity in our hearts, that He will protect us from iniquity, from those temptations which come towards us, those seductive sins, those carnal intentions which could so easily ensnare us if we have integrity in our heart at that point and are committed to walking in honesty and integrity, then God will protect us from iniquity. And to me, that's wonderful. I like that. Integrity. It will protect you from iniquity. John, you say, why should I walk in integrity? Nobody else is. Because it will profit your family. Because it will provide direction personally. Because it will protect you from iniquity. And finally and fourthly, it will produce mental stability. James chapter 1 says, a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. James 1:8 says that if you are not determined to walk in a certain direction, if you're not sure where you stand on issues of life, if you're not walking in integrity, if you're double-minded, if you're not certain what your values really are and your standards really are, if they vary depending upon who you're with or where you're at, if you're double-minded, you, James says, are like a wave tossed to and fro. And man, if you're a surfer, you know that means wipe out. You just get wiped out. Life becomes confusing. Mentally, you'll be depressed. You won't want to wake up in the morning. You'll just want to sleep your day away. If you are not sure where you stand in the issues of life, you are a double-minded man, unstable in all your ways. And life is so confusing, and it's so hard to decide, well, should I or shouldn't I? Is this right or isn't it right? If you have a solid standard, a real foundation upon which to build your life, you will have mental stability. Integrity promotes mental stability. And so today, as we sit here, as we read this Proverbs, the just man walks in integrity. The decision is yours and is mine. In this society that lacks integrity, are we going to be those who just fall into the same trap? Or today, May 2nd or whatever it is, May 3rd, Fourth, third, we are going to determine that today we are going to be a people who walk in integrity. God desires it, and we benefit by it. Our family benefits. We benefit by getting direction from God for our lives. We're protected from iniquity that comes at us. We have mental stability at a time when the cover story of Newsweek this week is on depression. People unstable and confused. You say, well, John, that sounds okay. That sounds good. Walk in integrity, but how do I do it? Tune for 3 more minutes and turn to Job chapter 2, and I'll show you what the scriptures say about how we can be those who walk in integrity. Where is there a man who really walks in integrity, soundness, and honesty? Well, in Job chapter 2, we find such an individual. Again, verse 1, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said to Satan, from whence camest thou? And Satan said to the Lord, from going to and fro in the earth, from walking up and down upon it. Checking things out, Satan said. Scoping out people. And the Lord said, verse 3, unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that fears God and eschews evil. And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without a cause. Job, you know the story. Satan came to God and said, oh, if you let me deal with Job, he'll curse you. He'll turn his back on you. You take away his blessings, his riches, his family, and see what happens to his integrity. And Satan had a field day with Job as the Lord allowed him to. But Satan never lost his integrity. Or pardon me, Satan never had integrity. Job never lost his integrity. Why, even when his family was killed, even when his crops were wiped out, even when his house was burned down, he still maintains integrity. And that is what God is saying to Satan at this point. Satan, you've already done these things to him, and yet he has integrity still. Well, Satan says in verse 4, skin for skin, yea, all that a man has will he give for his life. But if you put forth your hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, if you touch him physically, he will curse you to your face. Man, if he went under physically and had hard times in his flesh, he would curse you. The Lord, verse 6, said to Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. Satan, you can touch him physically, but don't kill him. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot to his crown. And Job took him a potsherd or a broken piece of pottery to scrape his boils with. And he sat down in the dushes, in the ashes, or literally the dung. Boils inflicted his body, and he scrapes them open with a broken piece of pottery. The pus is flowing freely. And he sits in a pile of dung. His kids are already dead, but his wife was not taken. Satan didn't touch his wife. We see why. In verse 9, then said his wife to Job. His wife comes while he's sitting there on this dunghill. Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. No wonder Satan didn't take her. Are you still going to move in integrity, Job? You've lost everything and now you're covered with boils sitting on a pile of dung. Hey, forget your integrity. Curse God and die. But Job didn't do so. Turn with me, if you will, to chapter 27 of Job. Now here Job is in the midst of a long dialogue concerning his situation. In verse 1 of chapter 27, "Moreover, Job continued his parable and said, 'As God liveth, who has taken away my judgment, and the Almighty who has vexed my soul, all the while my breath is in me, and the Spirit of God is in my nostrils, my lips shall not speak wickedness, nor my tongue will utter deceit. God forbid that I should justify you.'" That is those that were telling him that he was off the wall, out to lunch, forget it. "God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me." I don't care what happens, Job says. I will not remove my integrity. I'm committed to this course. I adhere to these values. I will keep these standards no matter what. "You can argue with me," he says. "My wife can come down on me," we saw earlier. "My body can fall apart right on me. Or my possessions can be taken from me, but I will not give up my integrity." Now, what kind of a guy would be able to say this kind of thing? One more verse in Job that gives us a real key. Chapter 31 of Job. Here in chapter 31, and you can read it at your convenience if you desire at a later time, but Job is describing his own integrity. Watch what he says. He says in verse 1, "I made a covenant with my eyes," or an agreement with my eyes. "Why then should I think upon a maid? Or what portion of God is there from above, and what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways? Doth not he count my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath haste to deceit, then let me be weighed in the balance, that God may know my integrity." God, weigh me in the balance, Job is saying. I have not walked in a foolish way. I have not looked on a maid with lustful eyes. Why? The first words are the key. "I have made a covenant with my eyes." At a certain point in Job's life, he made a covenant, a promise, a contract, an agreement. Job said, "I am making a legal contract in my heart to myself that I will not do certain things no matter what." It is not even a question for consideration. It is not even open to debate. "I will not do certain things, period." Now this is the key, the crux, the dynamic of this truth. When you decide, God will provide. When you decide that you will not do certain things, absolutely, unequivocally, totally, without question, God will meet you in that place of decision and provide for you the strength to maintain your integrity in that area, no matter what it might be. Job made commitment. Not just, I think I'll make an... I'll watch where I look. He said, "I made a covenant with my eyes. I will not look upon a maid in a lustful way," is the idea. I won't do it. I'll turn my head. I'll walk away. I'll close my eyelids. I've made an agreement, and I have made a legal contract with me personally. I won't do it. When you decide, when I decide, God provides. Now, let me illustrate it this way. I doubt if very many of us, if any of us in this room, have a problem with heroin. If somebody came up to you today in downtown Medford or Jacksonville or Grants Pass and said, "Hey, here's some heroin. Go shoot up." I doubt if very many of us would say, oh, hold me back. Oh, this is tough. Lord, help me. Maybe a few of you would, and I feel for you, and really I understand that if you've been tricked into that trap, it's a difficult place to be. But I speak to most in here who say, that's not an issue. Heroin? If somebody came to me and offered me heroin, I'd tell them to buzz off or call the cops or do something. Because, see, we have made decisions, firm covenants, that we're not going to experiment with or get involved in heroin. So it's not a problem. God honors integrity. Now, what about Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars that are now in Van Wees? Hey, this is the hot new tip. Forget Breyers. They've got these Häagen-Dazs ice cream bars now. They're about $1, so you can't eat very many of them. But dark chocolate, vanilla ice cream, thick, big bars. I mean, they come in boxes. They're just... Now, I can say, you know, I really shouldn't have a Häagen-Dazs ice cream bar. I know that I don't need it. It's not particularly good for me. It's expensive. But you see, as I go down the aisle, do I really have a covenant? Do I really say I am determined, no matter what, that I will not buy that ice cream bar? No, I've got some philosophical ideas about it, some theological truths that I kind of know, some tendencies, some talk. But when it comes right down to it, I don't have integrity in that matter. Integrity means no matter what, come hell or high water, I will not buy that ice cream bar. Now, if I ever get to that place, then God will meet me in that place. When I decide, God provides. Now, the issue of a Häagen-Dazs ice cream bar is humorous, but there are issues that are not. And it's a matter of men and women concerning stretching the truth, exaggerating, gossiping, immorality, abuse of substances or drugs, cheating on taxes, unethical, shady business practices, movies and television. There are some huge issues which we must decide whether we are going to move in integrity. And if, like Job, we say, I make a covenant, I will not do these things. Once you truly decide, God will provide. Even as he did with Abimelech. God says, I know the integrity of your heart. Therefore, I didn't allow you to touch her. Folks, the choice is ours today. If you decide to truly walk in integrity, God will provide the ability. Guarantee. And if you decide to walk in integrity, it will profit your family. It will protect you from iniquity. It'll provide direction for your life personally. And it will promote mental stability. Integrity's a good deal. The just man shall walk in his integrity. And his kids will be blessed.